Paddy and Maz,
the podcast.
I'm glad you did because it's a great story.
Yeah. I've done all the dumb things. And that's what we're looking at this morning. 1-3-5-3, I'm not alone, make me feel better. Because it was just that Kirst was cleaning out the cupboards. She found two old cans of alcoholic ginger beer, which had blown each end out. Like they were just, it expanded.
Yeah.
The bottom and the top, so it was ready to blow. And I thought, don't touch that, because Kirst said, I'll put it in the sink just in case anything happens. And then I walk over and they go, one, what would happen if I just ripped open the ring pull thing?
And I did.
And then it exploded up into my stomach. It was a projectile, whacked me, cut my finger with some of the aluminium. And also I then had a shower of alcoholic ginger beer on the ceiling. And on the cupboards.
Not a shower that you want.
No, very sticky. very sticky, Maz. So this morning.
We do have some calls, so hopefully you will feel better after we talk to Sean, who's calling from Jillaby this morning. Hey, Sean.
Good morning, Maz.
Hello.
Good morning, Paddy.
G'day, Shawnee. Not too bad. Dumb things. What did you do?
I've been in Spain running with the bulls, which is dumb enough.
Yeah.
Then went down to San Sebastian. End up playing foosball and been doing all right. So after quite a few drinks, I thought, right, we'll put a bet on the table. Loser has to run around the bar naked. Yeah, first game I lost. running around
the bar. See, like.
Wow. Hey,
but the upside was the weather was warm, so it wasn't.
Hallelujah.
San Sebastian was never the same, Sean.
I've been banned from there.
Banned Sebastian. Oh.
Troisi from Gosford. Troisi, tell us about what you've done, mate.
Yeah, morning, Paddy and Maz. Good to see you made a week, Maz. But on the weekend, I thought I'd do a padwar and turn the old second spare bathroom into being used while I get my other bathroom ripped out.
Yeah.
Sure. And it hasn't been used for about 10 years. So I turned the shower head on thinking, oh, water will just come out. So it doesn't. It starts just dripping, you know, dripping like nothing, you know, like, and I'm thinking, wow, you can't have a shower under this. You'll be here for a week. So I get the spanners and I start undoing a few bolts.
Sure.
And I forgot to turn the water off. And I was one drowned rat, literally.
Yeah, guilty. You just do forget sometimes. You go, oh, I'll start taking that off. And
so the water pressure is good now, Troy?
The water pressure. Well, then I went down to Bunnings, a $19 replacement, and boom, she's working.
Good work.
Nice
good work, Troy. Good work, Troisi. Paddy and Maz, the
podcast. So I've got this little story. It's been a bit of a mystery in our home for a couple of weeks now, but the mystery has been solved. So
Hallelujah.
My AirPods went missing, and that's not, super annoying. And they're tiny, you know, they come in the little case.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty diligent. Like I take them out of my ears and I put them back in the case. I usually put the case on the charger, and the charger's in the living room. I have like a little communal charging system station. And they went missing, and I, at first, of course, got angry at Glenn, passively, aggressively. I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, it was just...
He reminds me of...
a survivor?
An AirPod stealer.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah,
I look at him and I'm going...
of AirPod stealing.
I look at him and I'm going...
Yeah, AirPod thief.
You'd knock off AirPods.
I eventually asked him about it, and I said, have you seen my AirPods? Because I've gone MIA. And he's like, no, I've definitely got mine.
Is that
mine.
When you put your fingers, his fingers in a vice? Glenn.
Come on. No, come on.
Tell the truth.
I need the truth. Or you're going to lose a finger.
Light in the face.
So, no, he was like, no, I haven't seen yours. And I'm like, they're not in my gym bag. I did all the checks.
Yeah.
They're not here. They're not there. I've looked everywhere. And so that was sort of it. And then I brought it up the other day. We were sitting at our little dining table and Henry was at the table. I was like, I still cannot find those AirPods. And it's really annoying me. It's frustrating because I'm pretty good at stuff. Like I lose my keys all the time. But AirPods, I'm really diligent at. And all of a sudden, Henry just hops off his chair and just walks outside. And I'm like, where's he going? What's he doing? And he didn't say anything. He comes back in the house he's got like a Batman monster truck. It's the Batmobile, but as a monster truck. Remote control, goes in the water, goes on the sand at the beach. It's cool. It's a great toy. So he brings the monster truck into the house and he knows it's an outside toy. And I'm like, buddy, what are you doing with the monster truck? And without saying a word, Paddy, he just looks at me and he lifts the lid up and my AirPods were in the Batman monster truck. And I'm like, well, how long have they been there for? And then he's like, I was hiding them from you, Mum. I'm like, thanks for returning them.
Nothing will get in between a kid and his mother, a boy
Seriously?
And his mother.
Not I know, AirPods, I know. So. I found it funny. Glenn's like, you're grounded.
The poor little fella. I'm hearing you, though. When they do go missing, wait till they grow older like my boy Cal. He's already taken two pairs. I'm on to my third pair. So it will happen, Mazzy.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Because Trevor Long, our techspert, is back.
He's back.
For 2024 on Triple M. Good morning, Trevor.
Hello, sir.
Paddy, Maz, my sympathies to you, Maz.
Thank you.
There's a lot we need to unpack over the course of the coming months.
A lot's changed.
But I just want you to know, I'm here if you need me, okay?
Thank you.
Not you, Paddy, Maz.
On the first day working together, Trev, someone called and they've got a sign. It was Benny from Blue Haven.
Yeah.
And if there was a sign, if Maz gave a word, he would call.
Yeah, we've got a special safe word now.
It was pineapple, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think you need all the support you can get.
Okay, right? Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Not going to help. They may
be. Now, Mr. Long from EFTM.com, formerly from Australia Avenue. You see him on Channel 9. Jeez, I saw you over the bloody Christmas break a lot on TV. Were you junketing over the Christmas break as well?
I had a business trip over the Christmas break, yes.
Is that what you call
Las Vegas.
To Las Vegas.
It's my annual trip to Las Vegas. I took my son this year, so that was a bit wild. But anyway,
actually, I love those TVs that were just plain glass. It was just
transparent.
Unbelievable. That's like, wild.
Genuinely, very, very cool. Obviously, crazy expensive, weird product, but so cool to have in your lounge room. So if you've got really cool wallpaper, you could see the wallpaper through it while it's in, you know, weather or screensaver mode. But when you want to watch a movie, you press a button, the black film comes up, and it's just
That's
a normal TV.
It's
phenomenal.
That was LG. They absolutely knocked it out of the park with that one.
What would Maz be paying for one of those for a lounge room, Trev?
Oh, look, Maz would come to me, and I'd probably get her about 10 grand off, so she'd probably only be paying 20, 25.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Paddy.
Appreciate
Paddy would go to Harvey Norman and pay 35.
Now,
no discount for you.
Now, Netflix have done it. Another streaming service cracking down on password sharing.
Yeah, so if your mother-in-law, like mine, or your siblings, your friends, are using your Disney Plus password to access Disney Plus content, goodbye. It's going to crack down. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but they updated their terms and conditions. Mm. Now, so the legalese now contains terms about, you know, being a household product and stuff like that. So within the next couple of months, they're going to crack down. You're not going to be able to share your passwords, and your mates are going to have to stump up for their own account instead of sponging off you.
Are they going to do what Netflix did, though, where you can add a screen or add somebody onto your account and then pay a little bit more?
Because I'm paying for my mother-in-law's Netflix account now, of course, because she was on mine. And it's like $8 a month or something for the extra account, rather than her having to spend the 15 or so. Mm. So I really hope they do that, because most of the time there's a reason
it's
for this
genuine.
Happening, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully they do introduce a new pricing tier that includes those extra members of your own household.
Trev, Valentine's Day is coming up. Put it in your diaries, lads. It's the 14th.
Don't bother. She's always going to. No, sorry. That's just my relationship. Don't move on.
Valentine's Day tech scams were apparently huge last year. Is it something that we need to be worried about again this year?
High alert, everyone. Because here's the thing. You're going to get phone calls. You're going to get text messages. You're going to get emails. So the emails might be in the form of just literally florists and things that aren't real, trying to suck you into a great deal. The text messages might be, you know, pretending to be a loved one, trying to get you to, you know, click here to redeem the gift voucher I sent you. I don't want to come up with ideas for the scammers, but
so
it could
be
anything.
Stop writing them down.
Okay. What was another one, Trev?
But you've just got to be on high alert around really, really peak news times and peak holiday times, if you want to call Valentine's Day a holiday. So scammers know that we are enamored by Valentine's Day. We will spend money on our loved ones, and so they will be doing everything they can to be the ones we spend our money with.
Mm. Okay, just be careful. And finally, sports fans using KO, good news.
Huge news, Formula One fans, NRL fans. KO is adding 4K. So this season, wherever 4K content exists on Fox Sports, it's going to be on KO. It'll cost you $3-5 a month extra on the mid plan, but I'm happy to pay $5 a month for 4K Formula One on KO Sports.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, we don't have to wait for Valentine's Day to tell you we love you and thank you very much for
love
joining
you, man.
Us.
Love you, Trev.
There's two of us. See you next week, Trev.
See ya.
Trev along. Get all the reviews on EFTM.com. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Now, I'm looking at you. Smile, Mazzy, for me. Oh, look.
Are they twinkling?
Yes, they are. You have, I was reading a story and I just can't believe how many things you have in common with ex-Iron Maiden singer Paul Di'Anno.
Excuse me?
Now, he's been touring Australia and not good reviews from the gig. Labelled it, one reviewer liking it to stages of grief.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Now,
I don't have that in common.
You won't. Now, Iron Maiden.
He's doing Iron Maiden
songs. Music.
He's playing the music that people love. He's not doing a weird solo project or something.
No. And
Iron Maiden fans would be.
I think he's like. Oh, they'd be going off. I think he was in Sydney on the weekend.
Okay.
But look, this reviewer, Gareth Williams. According to his review, this was in Perth on January 16th at the Amplifier Bar. And everyone knows if you're going anywhere in Perth, you've got to go to the Amplifier Bar. He said, Di'Anno, the 65-year-old former lead vocalist of Iron Maiden, he's in a wheelchair. He's wheelchair bound because he had a knee surgery, right?
And again, I'm waiting to find out where the commonalities are because I am able-bodied.
Yeah, here it comes.
I have had a knee surgery. there's that.
No,
you probably weren't expecting that, were you? No, I have had surgery on my right knee. No.
But what he did, he complained between every song. There's the similarities between the and Paul Di'Anno, right? He complained. So he's up on stage and he's complaining. He complained between every song.
He's having a winch to the crowd.
Yeah, about jet lag. Now, this is where you come in, Mazzy. Jet lag.
Yep.
Being tired.
Oh.
The weather.
Oh, my God.
The sound and his microphone.
This is great. This is me.
You are his twin. You are his sister.
Yeah, we must be each other's doppelgangers or something because
seriously.
I whinge about all of those things between the songs.
But his favourite word contains four letters, begins with C.
Oh, that's not my favourite
word. No, I know. Cats, I'm talking about. And then the bloke at the sound desk copped it. One punter got told to call a cab
or he
was going home in an ambulance. It gets worse.
He was heckling the crowd. It doesn't usually go in that order.
Then he tells a female punter near the front just to shut up, put some other words in there.
Oh, no.
Then it just goes on and on and on. He did apologise at the end. He apologised. He said, I'll come next time and I'll do more shows for you guys. And he might even do them for free. But
I don't know that he was going to have a crowd to abuse next time. But that is, that's spot on.
Similarities uncanny.
Yeah, I and he are the worst nightmares. Paddy and Maz, the
podcast. We have got Mark Rayner, the store manager from Lee Rowan's, and they are shutting Garden World. They're shutting its doors at Arimba after a long, long time.
Closing down. Hi, Mark.
G'day,
how are you going today? It's a big day.
It is a very big day today.
Yeah. Mate, how long has Lee Rowan's Garden World been going for?
Lee Rowan's Garden World's been going since about the 70s, but we've been down on the Central Coast for the last 15 or so years.
Yeah, been a long time. And this is it. Today's the day. Shutting the doors.
Today's the day, yes, that's right. Shutting the doors, 5 o'clock. I'm sure a couple of the staff will flow a few tears, but...
I'm sure.
Very sad, closing those doors for the last time.
Now, does that mean there's still products available for people to buy? People can still come today to purchase plants and bits and pieces from you guys?
Yeah, we've still got plenty of stuff left here. The idea is whatever doesn't sell, we're moving up to our Warners Bay store up in Newcastle.
Okay.
There's still plenty here and we've up until the last week or so, we've still been buying stock in, so we've been sort of trading as normal, so to speak, but certainly whittling everything down, and there's a bit left, but it's looking very empty.
And you can go online, though, to order, but with all the staff, do they retain their jobs at Warners Bay, or what's the go?
All the staff were offered jobs. There was a couple that have decided to move on, and, okay. and certainly, you know, a good majority have decided to move up. So, yeah, we're sort of continuing, but yeah, closing the doors as we all said on at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah,
wow. Well, we'll be thinking of you, mate. It's a big day.
Yeah, yeah. Big day, sad day, but we've had a lot of the regulars come in and sort of wish us well, which has been really nice from an employee's point of view. So, big day.
Yeah, you've done a lot for the Central Coast community with sporting teams and charity and that over the years. Mm. Mark, thanks very much for taking time, and all the best to you as well, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much. Sad day, but life goes on,
yeah.
and you know, we'll move on, and hopefully today we'll have plenty of other regulars come in and just give us that final goodbye, which will be really nice.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
So I mentioned this on the show last week that my pipe dream with Glenn, my husband, is to maybe one day, maybe in a decade or so, like this isn't for right now,
no.
to have a bit of land.
But you're working with me.
Yeah, sure, doing the hard yards right now. But when I'm out of this mess, hopefully one day we could afford a little patch of dirt somewhere and have some animals. Now, we already have a dog, Happy.
On you, Happy.
Our Kelpie cross cavoodle. We've got four chooks.
Yeah.
So our chickens' names are Frizzle, Superman, Lady Hawk and Banana. They're our chickens who just roam around in the backyard. They're free range.
Wait till Christmas, guys.
No, they are our pets. We will not be eating them. I have had to have this conversation with Henry, my four-year-old, because we were eating chicken once. And he was like, Mum, is this chicken like those chickens?
Does he ask about their cousins in the supermarket?
Like, yeah, except they're our pets, so we're not going to kill them.
It's a big difference. There's a big difference.
So we've got chickens and we've got a dog, and we would like to expand our family of animals down the track. And I did say that I'd love to have a mini hobby farm where all the animals were miniatures.
To make you look tall.
To make me feel like a giant.
Yeah.
But and also like they're just easier to keep when they're smaller.
And they can come in the house too.
And so that means, thank you for saying that, because I have stumbled across a breed of cow that has been manufactured for this exact reason. Here's some audio explaining it.
Introducing mini cows, the newest trendy pet breed. Unleashing a wave of cuteness, these adorable creatures are captivating hearts and turning heads with their irresistible allure and manageable size. Originating from various breeds, mini cows are selectively bred for smaller sizes while retaining the delightful features of their larger counterparts.
Do they have mini goats? Does anyone have mini? I'm sure mini goats.
They have pygmy goats.
They do have pygmy goats.
And we will get some on the farm. But the miniature cow, this could be a house cow.
Yeah.
This cow is so tiny.
You bring them inside.
And so cute. How cute. I'm showing Patty a photo.
Yeah.
Aren't they the cutest things you've ever seen in your life?
You could have them in your bed.
We could get a house cow at the end of our bed. All of my dreams are coming true.
Yeah.
I can't believe this even exists.
Do they have anyone on mini cow on the Central Coast would love to know on the mini cow hotline?
I think miniature cows.
Are they big in Australia, Mazzy?
No, they're miniature.
No, are they? That was a wrong choice of words.
Are they popular?
Are they popular, yes.
I don't know yet. Yeah. I'm happy to take calls. 1-3-5-3.
Yeah.
If you want to talk miniature animals in general, or mini cows, if there is somebody on the coast
that's
breeding mini cows, sign me up.
Because Sean from Jillaby, he's got the alpacas, but I don't think he's got the mini ones.
We need to get onto that.
Yeah, we've got the normal size ones.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
We have got star of TV, radio, novelist. They used to call him the human headline.
I would say broadcast royalty joins us on the show.
We are worthy, Darren Hinch. Good morning, Darren.
How are you, Darren?
Hi, Patty. Hi, Maz.
You've done the lot, Darren, haven't you? You've done the lot.
You left out politics.
Oh, politics. You're a senator. How did we forget?
Then the tribe spoke and I was no longer a senator. So there you go.
Darren, in politics, can you make a difference?
Yes, you can. When we got the several things changed. I mean, it's now an official Liberal Party policy to have a sex offenders on a register. When Malcolm Turnbull was Prime Minister, he called me one Saturday morning at home, and I'd pushed through with Julie Bishop's help, I must admit, and Peter Dutton. I got a call from Malcolm saying, there, and they just turned the first one back at Sydney Airport, and I stood at my alone in my lounge room and cried. So yes, you can.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And during all the time that you have been in the public eye, you've managed to pen 19 books.
Yeah, 19. This is my new one out of short stories, is my 19th, and it sort of happened by accident. I've never written a book of short stories, but I started writing another novel about a character I'd written about before in several novels, a journalist called Hunter, Jonathan Hunter. And a novel for me usually runs about 65,000 words.
Oh, wow.
And I got to 15,000 words in this one, and I'd told the story. I'd run out of words. And you can't pad to 50,000. So.
You could try.
Yeah, you could.
Oh, and then Jonathan Hunter decided to switch gears and decide to do something different with his life.
Different. Yeah, well, anyway, I was having lunch with Dermot O'Brien, who was my television producer in the past, and he said, well, why don't you turn it into a short story and write some others? So I did, and I wrote four or five others, and I call them faction because although they're fiction, most of them are based on something I've known or done or been around. So there's a crooked politician in there in one of the stories. So there's that sort of stuff, and a lot of the stuff is based on my own experiences. But one thing, Maz, that I was going to raise with you, I've been fascinated by your stories about not drinking.
Oh, really?
because I mean, I didn't drink after having a trend before and after a liver transplant. I didn't have a drink for 7 years. But then, because at my 75th birthday, my surgeon was there, and I had a bottle of non-alcoholic wine, which I carry with me.
Yeah.
And he said, aren't you having a glass of wine? I said, of course not. And he said, well, you can have one. And so with his permission, I now occasionally will have a glass of white wine, but it's been watered down with heaps of ice blocks and sometimes frozen grapes.
Oh, you're a classy man, Darren Hinch, putting frozen ice into your wine glass. Yeah, well, look, I haven't had a drink for 9 years, and I just feel like it was a great decision for me, and I feel amazing, and I like talking about that. And I just encourage people to take a break if it's not working for you. I don't try to ram it down people's throats, you know. But thank you for acknowledging that. That's very kind.
I grew up watching Fast Forward. Steve Vizard used to do Darren Hinch. And
yes.
Would be shame, shame, shame. Did you actually ever say that?
Do you know what? I'll say it to you guys, Paddy and Maz, shame, shame, shame. But I never said it.
Oh, that moment.
Wow.
That moment.
Once years ago, and I loved Vizard and Fast Forward, I let him use my set and even gave him my gold pen to flash around. And one night, halfway through my own program, Hinch, and O'Brien, I mentioned, my producer, said, look above your head. And there was Hunch. I'd done half a show under Hunch, because we just forgot to change it. And I just looked at it and I went back on air and said, I'll get you for that, Vizard. But the thing is, once upon a time, I was interviewing Malcolm Fraser when he was Prime Minister. And I was talking about Australia's still recognising Cambodia in the United Nations, even though what was going on there was the slaughter of people.
Oh, with Pol Pot and everything.
With Pol Pot.
Yeah.
And I looked at Fraser and I said, well, Prime Minister, all I can say is shame, Australia, shame.
Oh,
that's the closest I ever got.
That's where it came from.
You said shame, shame,
shame. And
shame,
so Vizard then took it. And I still get people in the street saying to me, shame, shame, shame.
Well, when Mercy said to me, we're talking to Darren Hinch, and all that,
the first thing, shame.
Darren Hinch, short stories. Absolute pleasure to talk with you, mate. Hope the book goes well, and hopefully we catch up soon, Darren.
Thanks,
Paddy.
Thanks, Maz.
Thank you.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
Look, if you are going away, particularly into Sydney for the long weekend.
Oh, people do that, yeah.
Yeah, and you're staying in the city. Oh, word of caution.
Oh.
When we stayed over Christmas.
I feel like you love a bit of a cityscape.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you love the rocks. You love getting into the big smoke for a bit.
Newfound love for the rocks.
Yeah, the rocks is good, isn't
so
it?
So good.
Very historic.
You know what we did? We walked around just taking photos. It was just so nice.
Being a tourist in your own city.
Yeah, that's
really.
What it is.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's really lovely. But what we did notice, because we stayed in the city, and then what we did, we went to, you know, they have all the quickie marts.
Sure. Well, the convenience stores.
Quickie marts everywhere.
Yeah, well, there's no real big supermarkets in the city centre. You know, you've got to go to the outskirts.
But when I stay away, or even here, I cannot stand something, and I could not find this particular item in any quickie mart or easy mart in the city. So if you're going away, this is what you've got to take with you.
Packet of Winnie Blues.
Bump, bump. They still have the Winnie Blues.
I don't know.
I love the Winnie Blues.
That's a bit of a 90s yeah, throwback.
No, that was good. No, it wasn't the Winnie Blues, Mazzy.
Am I guessing?
Yes, you're guessing.
$2 plastic frisbee.
No, Bob, you wouldn't throw that in the city.
Could you give me some form of help with this?
Like, okay, all right.
I'm picturing all of the aisles of the Quickie Mart. All right. There's so many items.
Here's your hint.
Well, milk.
No, yes, exactly. Well, I thought you were going to say meat.
Miniature cows?
No, miniature cows.
You
no, miniature cows.
A miniature cow in a Quickie Mart.
None of them had full cream milk. All they had was that long life stuff.
What?
I cannot, for the life of me, does anyone like long life milk in your coffee? Ring the Lifelong Long Life Milk Hotline, 12353. Seriously, none of them had, and we went from one to the other to the other.
So they didn't have a refrigerator with fresh cow's milk in it.
No.
I find that very odd.
There was one shop at Circular Quay, and I said, can I get some of that milk? She said, no, that's for us.
You're joking.
And then we found this store. It was after 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 or 7 shops, which we went on our phones. Where are these quickie marts? And you go, and I think I said to Kirsten, probably the reason being is that they don't like waste, because with the long life, it just can stay there for the next 3,000 years.
I find that
weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
Milk would be a number one item at a Quickie Mart stop.
And we finally, after about 5 or 6 shops we went into, we found this little store.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it was a Quickie Mart. It was a shop, and we were able to buy some milk. So that's if you're a bit of caution, because I just can't stand it. I cannot. I will just not even drink it whatsoever.
Sure.
Yeah.
So is the advice that you're giving people, if you do go for a little cityscape over the long weekend, is take your own milk?
Yeah.
Okay. Take your own milk.
You've got to have an esky with some ice so it stays cool in the trip to Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It looked a little bit sus, you know, walking into a hotel, but I've done that before.
You and eskies. Well, we know what happens there.
That was once Maz in the car park at Triple M, and I had a pain in the belly. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Play that thing, Mazzy. Mazzy, Australian Lamb has launched its hotly anticipated summer ad.
It is. It's 3 minutes, and it is just so brilliant. It's so well done. It's called The Generation Gap.
Let's have a listen to part of it.
Good morning, Boomertown. It's a beautiful day to be 60 to 78 years young. Here's another gold moldy.
Your phone charge is on.
Your phone charge is on.
Have a house.
Lovely.
Your phone torch is on.
Careful, Seymour.
Watch out for the generation gap.
I wonder how they're going over there.
Yeah, bloody Gen Zs.
Just remember, we're the ones that invented your precious World Wide Web.
And here he is, the Lambassador, Sam Gankovic. Good morning,
Sam.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Fridge is full of lamb. Have you for the...
Yes,
big Barbie.
100%, my friend.
Lamb on the Barbie. Sam, these ads fail to disappoint, don't they?
Well, I think it's appropriate. I said, given the current times that we live in, I think it's appropriate as much as if we look at the this particular ad. It looks at the satirical generational gap that's allegedly prevalent in our society. And you see the various groups, how they're mindful of their own foibles, and all of a sudden realise that there's a lot more that brings us together that actually divides us.
Sam, the ad is so clever. There's so many little subtle nuances in there, and I feel like each person belonging to each generation would totally identify with the way. I think it's really cleverly done.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's those little subtleties that you're alluding to that really hit the point. And if you look at the various generation gaps, I'm going to say it's good that we've got that self-deprecation, a part of our DNA, that we can have a good old belly laugh at ourselves. And if you look at, the baby boomers who were purported not to be able to deal with modern technology, you look at the millennials who spend too much money on craft beer and Avo and toast, and you look at the other mob who spend all their beer making TikTok dances.
Haven't you done one yet, Sam? Jeez.
Hey,
mate, and the good thing is about new research from Australian Lamb shows that heartwarmingly 93% of Aussies agree that spending time with other generations has a positive impact, including 63% who say it brings value to their life because that's where you learn.
Absolutely.
Well, I think, ever since Moses wore number 4 for Galilee, I think it's fairly evident that one learned from the other, and that's how we prosper and we flourish.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Absolutely.
Even the bad, or so-called bad points from one's existence can be turned into a positive. So,
yep, we are the lucky country, mate. Seriously, every night on the news, I see what's happening all around the world, man. And I say to our kids, geez, we live in the luckiest place in the world.
We're
really
blessed.
Do.
We're so blessed.
We do.
Fill that Barbie up, invite them all across for and rejoice, as I said.
And you know what? We're even doing it. We are the best country. And you know what?
Let's make Australia proud again.
And we are even inviting our producer, Zach, around. Not many people do.
Yeah,
we're going
it's true.
We're going to take
your advice, Sam. Yeah, he's been on the periphery for a while. But we're going to invite him in.
Sam Kekovich, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Happy Australia Day. And get that lamb on the barbie, mate.
Back it up, mate. Need help.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
Mazzy just showed me this video, and even watching it, I got a bit queasy in the guts.
Yeah, it's pretty full on. We've put it up on our stories on social media. So if you follow us on Instagram, you just click the Triple M icon in the left-hand corner of Instagram or on Facebook stories, okay? And it is of these parachuting enthusiasts have constructed a trampoline. They've kind of attached a trampoline and it's hanging off a hot air balloon 3,000 metres in the air. It's wild. Like, that's the best way I can explain
what
the video is.
Don't do it at home.
Do not do this at home. These are all professionals.
Yep.
But they've got this trampoline hanging off this hot air balloon 3 kilometres in the air, and they're all just jumping around, having a wonderful time. They all have parachutes attached to their backs, by the way.
And when I had a look at it, I'm there, oh, my God, I had trouble walking across the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Let alone doing that.
These people love doing this. And
adrenaline
then
junkies.
You see them jump off the trampoline, off into the clouds, and then they skydive from the trampoline. It's pretty extreme stuff, but it got me thinking because the first thing I noticed is like, well, there's no safety nets on that trampoline, and I don't think it's possible to buy a groundbound trampoline, like one that you'd have in your backyard, without the safety nets these days. But back in the day, we had a trampoline in our backyard.
Who needs a safety net?
No safety net. We used
overrated,
to push it up against the pool fence and do somersaults over the pool fence into the pool. Don't tell my mother that we did that because she will kill me. But I wanted to know on 133353, I mean, we can broaden it out, but like, I'd love to know from back in the day about the trampoline accidents that happened because there were no safety nets. Because I feel like there must have been that many trampoline incidents in the 80s and 90s that the trampoline manufacturers have said, we actually need to probably put some safety gear around the tramps, guys, because there's a lot of injuries coming through on the complaints line.
Go on YouTube and have a look at trampoline fails.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you laugh. Like, if you're feeling down, just go and have a look. You know, someone's misfortune will make you laugh. But it's funny stuff.
It is funny.
But 133353, accidents on a trampoline, what did happen?
Kaylee in Camwell, good morning.
Good morning, mate. Welcome to Triple M.
Trampoline mishaps. What happened?
What happened?
This would have been around about 1989. We thought that it would be a good idea to push our trampoline up next to the pool.
Oh, yeah. I know that story.
That's like what you did. But it doesn't occur to you to think, well, the first jump's going to be great. But what happens after that? Well, you're wet, aren't you?
Yep.
You're jumping on now a wet trampoline where there's slippage and leg went through the bar part.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It didn't tickle because when you're also wet, your skin's really more.
Oh, no!
Oh, that would have hurt, Kaylee. That would have hurt.
It really, really did. But, you know, and you would think that that would stop so others from going, oh, I want to have a crack. Yeah, no, it didn't.
No, they forge your head. We got Johnny from Killarney Vale, those trampoline mishaps. Johnny, what happened?
Hey, how you going, mate?
Good,
it's Johnny,
mate,
from the crab races there, Paddy.
Oh, g'day, Johnny. How are you, mate?
How you going,
mate? Really well, buddy.
Hey. Hey, yeah, so what happened was the neighbour, Jessica Sexton, she was doing the old double bounce. Remember the double bounce?
Oh,
you,
yeah,
double bounce each other, you go real high.
Classic.
Well, yeah, obviously we had the old square trampoline, mate. She's gone over, landed on the side, and she actually ruptured her spleen.
Oh,
now, that ended up causing her. Now, that actually ended up causing her medical issues throughout her whole life.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Her whole teenage years.
From being
from
on a trampoline. From the double bounce.
Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, because when she landed on the side, she ruptured her spleen.
Oh,
and of course, she had to have surgeries upon surgeries. She always had issues growing up. Pretty much her whole 10 years, she was...
Because of the trampoline.
Wasn't able to do a lot. Yeah, all because of that, mate. All because of the ruptured spleen.
And again... Exactly why now they have those safety nets.
Yeah, that's right.
It's for stories like that. You get that in the complaints log, and then the trampoline company Vulu say, okay, we're getting safety nets so that there's not another Jessica situation that happens.
It was just a broken bone. It was years worth of entire.
Dr. John, sounds like a medical episode here. All right, Johnny.
I thought it was a bit morbid.
Johnny, thanks for joining us. See you at the crab races, mate.
See you,
buddy.
See you, mate.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
Dave Gleeson will be performing in Speedos at the Sunken Monkey on Thursday. Because Thursday on the coast, we're getting to 41 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be a hot, sweaty gig.
Dave Gleeson from the Jets joins us. Good morning, Gleeso.
Good morning, guys. I've locked myself in the bathroom. Our guitarist Jimmy's asleep in the other room. So if it sounds like I'm in a toilet, I am.
You barricaded yourself into a bathroom to have a chat with us. Thank you.
You are touring. You did a few gigs. Yeah, Toowoomba on Friday, then the Kingscliff on Saturday. You're going to be at the Sunken Monkey on Thursday, but Dave, it is going to be a scorcher.
Yeah, that's going to be, it's unavoidable heat.
Yeah,
that
41
kind
degrees.
Of heat.
Well, it's good because I'm back on the road and I'm trying to lose a bit of my gut, so I'll be wrapped up in glad wrap.
Is it your radio gut?
Yeah, that's right.
You get a gut when you do nights radio. Not speaking from experience or anything, but.
But that is true. Some people do, as Dave said, with glad wrap. Blokes at the footy club used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'd make them sweat more.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a health tip I wasn't expecting.
Or in the garbage bag. You just rip the garbage bag and make it into a shirt.
Yeah. They rip the holes out for your arms.
Yeah. Or just do a gig at the Sunken Monkey on a 41-degree day.
Hey, how has the tour been going, Dave? Has it been going all right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We just got back into it, but it's been going really well. The crowds have been massive and... hit the ground running. Off we go again for 2024.
I love it. So good.
And the thing is you're doing that, you're touring, you've got your radio show here at Triple M at nights. You mustn't have been home for ages.
No, the wife loved it.
I was going to say, some people would really, they spend their whole lives trying to get that kind of a schedule where they spend that much time away from their families. So you've hit the jackpot there.
And Dave, mate, listen, when you do go to all these gigs and you play, you've got so many bloody songs to choose from. Do people at the end of the gigs get angry because they'll say, play better.
Oh, and it's their favourite song.
They say, play better. And you go, yeah, I got my new album out as well. Misconduct, which you want to play, belt that out as well. Do some of them get angry?
People do come up and have their own favourites and say, why didn't you play this song or that song? And I mean, I'm not one of those three-hour, I don't like three-hour shows. Too tired. It hurts me throat.
Oh, mate, well, it would. It would.
That's
too.
That's true, yeah.
So, mate, over the years, how many have you written? Have you ever worked it out?
I think we've recorded, the Jets have recorded 112 original songs over the years.
Wow.
So Yeah, there's plenty to choose from. But of course, there's the ones that you have to do. Otherwise, you will get, there will be trouble. I mean, yes. Imagine if we walked off stage without playing better.
Exactly. Pete, there would be outrage. There'd be protests. Hey, Gleeso, so you said 3 hours is too long. What's your set maximum then? Just so everybody can see.
About 2 hours.
2 hours max.
I went and saw Bruce Springsteen. And I got bored after, you know, he's playing 3 hours. I'm like, come on, Bruce. There's a bit of fat you can trim off there, mate.
That's awesome.
You would have a rider, though, Dave, wouldn't you? Seriously.
I mean, oh, yeah, we've got a good rider. Yeah.
Well, what's on your rider these days? Metamucil?
A big bottle of Metamucil. No, a big bottle of Jack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably a case of beer, a couple of bottles of wine. Yeah.
Any food in there or just drinks?
No. We get a fruit platter, but I think that's just for show.
Yeah.
So people think that something good's happening in our lives.
And make sure water, keep hydrated for Thursday because it's going to be a scorch. And sunscreen. Because you were here last year with the Sunken Monkey as well, Dave, yes. So back again.
It's one of the great venues. We absolutely love playing there.
Love it.
Yeah, because they do it in the car park. They set the stage up.
That's fun. Super fun.
Like me and my mates, we go on the other side of the fence and don't pay and listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, stuff over.
Yeah, Dave.
Just take your camping
pay
chair.
Pay your money, Girardi. Yells out. Well, that was one of the rants he had between his songs. But make sure you do. It is going to go off. And it's for the long weekend too. So you've got the Friday off.
It's perfect.
For Australia Day. Sunken Monkey this Thursday. See Dave Gleeson and the Screaming Jets Professional Misconduct album tour. So, Dave, mate, as always, it's a bloody pleasure to talk to you, mate, and love listening to you. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Can't wait.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, yes, not bad. Good, okay, good, dumb good, things. Good. What did you do, mate?
Mate, well, I've got to put my hand up. This isn't me. This is a second-hand story, and I am open to correction.
Okay.
But there's a quite a famous comedian who I've heard of. I'll leave his name out. He used to work on the dockyards, and it's not Billy Connolly.
Okay.
He was walking across a boat they were working on, and he trod on this huge spike. It went right through his boot, through his foot, and through the top.
Yeah.
It's a horrendous injury. Went right through. And as he was in shock, he's looking at it and he's going, how do I get off this? How do I get off this? So he gets his other foot, balances on top of the nail that he's impaled himself on and tries to push the nail out. And the spike went through his other foot and impaled him. So he's standing there with both feet stuck on the one nail, trying to explain to people how he
both feet got stuck.
How did you do this? You know,
is this true?
The person who told me is the goddaughter of a very famous comedian, and I'd want to leave their name out. Just
all right,
in case.
Okay.
All right, I believe it.
It's a good story.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll leave you with it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mitch. So Mitch has inspired us today.
Isn't that an outrageous story? I love it. What have you guys stepped on?
Yeah. Honestly, what did you stand on? 13353.
Morning, Mark. How are you going?
Good morning, Maz. Good to hear your voice first thing in the morning. It brightens me up.
Oh, thanks, buddy. That's lovely.
Hello, Mark.
Paddy, you make me sleep. I've got to drive down to no talk.
I said we're a good balance then.
Now, we've been inspired by Mitch, and he was telling us a story about this comedian who stood on this big nail and tried to get it off with his other foot, and he impaled himself twice. So what have you stood on?
But I was working in Country Victoria. I was a nightfall manager for Woolworths. Finished late. I'd done some shopping before I left work and put it away. I took the basket home. Now as I'm walking home, I tread on this thing that made my boot rise. And I shot the torch down. It was a bloody tiger steak.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Did it rear up at you?
Mate, I was actually on the front half of it. So that I got size 12 feet. So I covered the head. So I dropped the shopping on the shopping basket on the snake and I run. I went back the next morning, the snake was gone, the shopping was still there.
Oh,
I took a shortcut through some bushland.
Where there were probably more tiger snakes.
Yeah, and where he had to change his undies.
Oh, mate, change my undies. I'm now sponsored by Bonds.
That's me.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.